Hello and welcome back to the Man of the Match podcast. It's summer, guys. It's summer. It's finally summer, which means here in America, school is out and the vacation begins. Also for footballers, their job's over and now they get to go on vacation with all of their families and get some quality time. So near the end of the year, we never got to discuss. Well, the end of the season, we never got to discuss what happened in the European finals because I made my last episode before it happened. So in the Europa Conference League, West Ham did beat Fiorentina, which was huge for them. Them winning their major, their first major trophy in over 20 years. So very good job, congratulations, West Ham. In the Europa League, Sevilla beat Roma. Absolutely insane. Game. They beat them on penalties. As an 11th place team, I still can't believe it. Sevilla has clinched Champions League football by winning the Europa League, which is honestly insane. And finally, in the UEFA Champions League, completing the treble, Manchester City won it all. They beat Inter 1-0. Many mistakes from Inter, especially from Lukaku, which literally included blocking his own team's shot, but overall City was just way too much for Inter. That finishes their treble of Premier League, FA Cup, and Champions League. Congratulations, and it's their first treble ever, and the first treble by any team in quite a bit. Now, in terms of international news, recently in his friendly against Liechtenstein, I believe it was, Ronaldo has just become the most capped player in the history of men's soccer. He has appeared 200 times for Portugal, which is the most ever. It's actually a Guinness World Record for men's soccer, which congratulations, Ronaldo. Uruguay ended up winning the U20 World Cup. It was a very fun tournament. Italy went far. They were in the final with them. Unfortunately, they lost to a very good goal in the 86th minute, which broke all of the Italians' hearts, but they still came away with the second place medal, and a lot of their players got individual awards, including the player of the tournament and the Golden Boot winner being Cesar Casadei, who from Chelsea, who actually is a center midfielder, which is, so it's kind of crazy that he, a center midfielder, won the Golden Boot, and he's not even a striker, which is pretty cool. The United States won the CONCACAF Nations League, and Greg Berhalter got rehired after a lengthy search by the Soccer Federation for a new coach. He will take over immediately after the World Cup is over, so he will be their coach for the friendlies in October, which is their next match is after the Gold Cup. But yes, United States beat Mexico in the CONCACAF Nations League semifinals, and they beat them 3-0. It was a very, very rough game for both teams because there was a lot of red cards and yellow cards. There was a lot of disciplinary actions and fighting. So it made the game a little bit more heated. And then in the final, the United States beat Canada 2-0 off two very good goals. BJ Callahan will obviously be their coach until the end of the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Honestly, he's done a pretty good job with the team, and honestly, I wouldn't mind him staying a little bit longer so that Berhalter can kind of get himself together and get things resolved between Berhalter and Reyna. But a big thing about the Nations League game was that Reyna, the national team showed that they needed Reyna to make that final push up top. Of course, Reyna being very important, having an assist in the final to Florian Balogun. In just Balogun's second game for the United States, he scored a goal that was crucial in winning the game. But yeah, hopefully Reyna and Berhalter will get along once Berhalter comes back. But congratulations to the United States. Obviously, I'm very happy about it being from the United States. And yeah, that was pretty much it for the Nations League, the CONCACAF Nations League, because we still have to talk about the UEFA Nations League. Spain won the UEFA Nations League. Congratulations to them on an insane penalty shootout against Croatia. Spain beat Italy initially, Italy, by the way, had some very, very nice 125th anniversary shirts they were wearing. Unfortunately, it wasn't good enough to beat Spain, but those shirts, I guess, propelled them to do better against the Netherlands, and they beat them 3-2. But Croatia beat the Netherlands, and they were away because the Netherlands actually hosted the Nations League finals. So that was a huge win for them. Croatia was this close to their first major international tournament, but unfortunately, Spain got the better of them in the penalty shootouts. And they probably learned from their penalty shootout loss against Morocco in the FIFA World Cup. A big, big thank you to everyone who's listening, because about a week ago now, was our first ever Instagram post when we started the podcast, which means it's been officially 1 year since we started this podcast. I want to thank everyone who has supported me so far. Please continue to support me, get the message out, share it with your friends. If you think they would like my content, whether it's Instagram, YouTube, Shorts, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, any of my posts that you think they might like, just please try to share my work. I'm working very hard for it. But thank you for 100 followers on Instagram as well, which perfectly coincided with our 1 year anniversary of the podcast. Thank you guys so much. It means a lot. And let's try to get higher in terms of followers, obviously. But it seriously means a lot to me. I'll keep making content as long as you guys are interested, and also because this is kind of just like a hobby for me. But thank you guys for everything. Now moving on to our first and only really segment of discussion, transfer talk. The transfer window is about to open in approximately 5 days on July 1st. Let's talk about the biggest move, Lionel Messi moving to Inter Miami in the MLS. First of all, let's talk about the terms of it. So far, he has not signed for them. He's just agreed with terms. Yes, the league has posted stuff. Yes, Inter Miami has posted stuff, but this is all agreed terms. In approximately 3 days from now, on June 30th, Messi's contract with PSG will expire. That's when he's going to sign with Inter Miami and become an officially an Inter Miami player. He's expected to make his debut in my Inter Miami's Leagues Cup match against Cruz Azul, which is a Mexican team, which is pretty interesting because the Leagues Cup is a brand new competition, and that's a very good place to debut Lionel Messi for Inter Miami. But let's talk about why Messi chose Inter Miami. Number one, let's talk about why he didn't go to Al Hilal. I believe it was just because of the culture. It just simply, he didn't like it, and it did not fit well with him having to like learn a whole new language and kind of, well, he didn't have to, but I guess he just didn't feel comfortable moving to Saudi Arabia. That's pretty much it. The money was good. Obviously, the money was great, but he just didn't want to go for the money. He just wanted to go for him and his family's well-being to whatever club he was going to go to next. Barcelona offered his well-being, but they did not offer the money. Well, they did, but Messi was worried about what was going to happen if they ran out of money, like they did last time. They had to let him go because they were short on money and they didn't have anything else to do. They couldn't pay his salary. So the thing was, Messi didn't want to leave, but Barcelona forced him to leave. And that was why he did not go there this time, because he was worried it was going to happen again. Why he chose Miami, both of those options combined. Miami is one of the largest cities. It's not one of the largest cities in the U.S., but it is one of the largest cities in the U.S. in terms of Hispanic American population. It's literally right next to the Caribbean, so a lot of people there speak Spanish. I think he might learn English, I'm not sure, but I believe one of the reasons he wanted to go there is for his kids to learn English, which is obviously one of the most spoken languages in the world. I believe he owns an apartment there, a luxury apartment, or I'm not sure if he has a mansion. I forgot, but he definitely has some form of residency down there already. I guess he finds America safe compared to the other two countries and suitable to close out his career. Now, let's rate this signing 10 out of 10. First of all, Inter Miami. They're the second worst team in the MLS, and they're the worst team in the Eastern Conference. So this is definitely going to help them a lot. The United States soccer, this is just huge for soccer in the United States. It's going to definitely help it bloom. Tickets, believe me, I'm an American. I checked, we're going for $300 to potential games he was going to be at. So people are definitely very excited to see him. Hopefully, so it's a 10 out of 10 sign-in for the United States in terms of soccer, and a 10 out of 10 sign-in for the MLS. This is just huge publicity for them, not just here in the United States, but just all over the world. Obviously, Messi will get a cut of his jersey sales and MLS season pass subscriptions on Apple TV, which will be the only place that you can see him now. So, people, if you want to see Lionel Messi, get MLS season pass now on Apple TV. No, this is not an ad. I'm just telling you so that you guys could know. Because the same thing happened with Ronaldo. Oh, where do I watch Ronaldo? Honestly, I don't know, because I've never looked up the Saudi Pro League. But as an American, it's on Apple TV Plus worldwide. I believe so. Or maybe worldwide. I forgot. But let's talk about another transfer. Officially, Bellingham to Real Madrid for about $103 million. It's a good move for them. For Bellingham, it's also a good move. I would say a 9 out of 10. But I just don't feel that he's really that good. I said this in a couple episodes ago. I just feel like he's a future Jordan Henderson. He's not amazing, but he's not bad. And $103 billion is a little bit too much. So this is a win for Dortmund, first of all. Okay, so Dortmund, it's a 10 out of 10 transfer. You're getting $103 million in exchange for... And you're giving away, what, a future Jordan Henderson, as I said? Real Madrid, I just said it was a 9 out of 10. It's more like an 8 out of 10 because we don't know how it's going to work out. And for Jude, I know I said 9 out of 10. Sorry, guys, but it's probably a 10 out of 10 for him because Real Madrid's one of the biggest clubs in the world. Now, Alexis McAllister has moved to Liverpool for a fee of about 30 or 40 million, one of the biggest bargains so far of the transfer window. Because Liverpool triggered his release clause, he came from Brighton. For Brighton, they could have sold him for more, but unfortunately they had the release clause, so it's honestly a 6 out of 10, because it's still money they're getting. Liverpool, 10 out of 10, amazing deal for such a great player. And for Alexis, it's a great move for him to go to a bigger club that's going to play in the same competition as his old club, the Europa League, unfortunately. But I think eventually with him, they will definitely get out of the Europa League and move to the Champions League in 2024-25 season. So it's a very good move. 9 out of 10 for Alexis. Next, one of the most shocking transfers of the transfer window as a free agent, Karim Benzema has gone to Al Ittihad. I just don't understand. It's obviously about the money. Yes, he said he wanted to live in a Muslim country, but I think a lot of it is about the money, why he wants to go to Al Ittihad. It's a 10 out of 10 move for him because it seems like he's getting everything he's wanted. No, actually, never mind. 8 out of 10 because he's not playing European football. And 10 out of 10 for obviously for Al Ittihad, and a 7 out of 10 for Real Madrid. They kind of needed to let go of him. Who else went to Al Ittihad? N'Golo Kanté. N'Golo Kanté, the man who was always smiling, goes to Al Ittihad. He's getting a little bit older, so it was time for Chelsea to let him go as a free agent. I'm pretty sure he's just going there for the money, so great for him. 10 out of 10. Alitia, 10 out of 10 for publicity. And honestly, a pretty good move for Chelsea, who's cleaning a house. They're getting rid of everybody. So, a good 8 out of 10. They could have sold him, but I mean, who really wanted to buy N'Golo Kanté for, like, 20 million? It's just not worth it at his age. Now we're going to keep going with the Saudi transfers. Kalidou Koulibaly and Ruben Neves signed to Al Hilal. For Al Hilal, both of those deals are a 10 out of 10. Obviously compensating for not getting Messi. Koulibaly, it's probably, I would say, like a 4 out of 10 move, because he's still a very good player. I don't know why he's leaving the Premier League at this age, and it just doesn't make sense for him, except for the money, which is why I bumped it up to a 4. And for Chelsea, you've had him for 1 year. Why do you let him go this early? Like, 2 out of 10. In terms of Ruben Neves, for him, he's in his prime. He was 26. He was in the Premier League. Why did you leave? That's a terrible decision. 2 out of 10. Just for the money again. But his is, like, even worse. He's in his prime. Like, why would you do that? For Wolves, it was a pretty good deal. So, I mean, I don't think they have a reason to complain. So, I mean, 6 out of 10. Keep on going with the Saudi theme, but this time instead of the league, it's the owners. Saudi-owned Newcastle has brought Sandro Tonali for $70 million. I honestly can't believe it. Yes, he's a very good player. I like him a lot. He's the future of Italy, the Italian national team. He's their captain in the U21 Euro. And yes, he's a very good player. He's a very good midfielder. But for $70 million at the age of 21, for somebody who hasn't really shown too much in terms of the club stance, that is a little bit too much. Now, officially, they haven't signed him, but they're, like, about to. The announcement's coming soon, and I'm sorry if it doesn't happen. But in terms of Newcastle, we'll see how it turns out, but for right now, it's a 7 out of 10 to Tonali. I'm assuming he's going to get that Saudi money, so 10 out of 10. And for AC Milan, that's like a 9 out of 10. They're going to get a lot of money from this deal. Now, people were talking about the Messi effect when Messi went to Inter Miami. Here's another transfer that happened to Miami. Sergio Busquets, who is a free agent now, he decided to join Messi, his old friend Messi, at Inter Miami. Busquets obviously also trying to close out his career. It's a great move for another great move for Inter Miami. 9 out of 10, just because Busquets is, I believe, a little bit older than Messi. And then for Busquets, I don't know exactly why he wanted to go there. But I would say for him, it's a very good move. For at an old age, he's probably still getting paid a lot. So I would say probably a 8 out of 10 move for them. And for Barcelona, yes, he was their captain, but obviously he was getting a little bit older. So, I mean, 9 out of 10 move for them. They kind of needed to let go of him. Now, moves that I think are going to happen. Before, that was just the ratings. Now, moves that I actually think are going to happen. Havertz is going to Arsenal. There's no way he goes anywhere else. They basically got him in the palm of their hand. They've made the bid to Chelsea, and Chelsea's accepted it. Now it's just waiting for the announcement. He's definitely going there. Declan Rice, I feel like he's going to go to Arsenal, because right now he's, like, receiving bids from City and Arsenal. And I would say that he wants playing time, because I don't feel like he would be getting too much playing time at Manchester City with the amount of competition there is. But I feel like he would like the playing time that Arsenal would give him, so I would definitely say he goes to Arsenal. Now, I need people to stop saying these rumors because it's kind of getting me excited. These moves, I don't think are going to happen. Di Maria, Suarez, or Neymar to Miami. I don't think any of them are going to enter Miami, especially after the Busquets signing. So the rumors, just everybody needs to stop. Suarez, he's stuck in that contract, he said, with Gremio until 2024, 2025, I forgot. Neymar is just worth too much right now, and same with Di Maria, so it's kind of like, I don't think any of them are going to go there. And last of all, a move that I do think is going to happen, Moises Caicedo, I believe, is going to Chelsea. I mean, there's no one else in the race for him who can really pay that much. I mean, his value right now is about like 60 million. But I do think Chelsea, especially since they're going to get a lot of money from all the players they sell, would be able to go and get him. As for today, that is all I have to say. Thank you guys for joining me on today's episode. Obviously, thank you guys for the support. Obviously, it's our first year anniversary, as I said earlier. Thank you guys so much for listening. Ciao.